This is actually going into our what we call our situational day, where we will install our red zone, short yardage, goal line, those kinds of things, and go over our 2 minute at the end of practice as well. So we're giving the guys a opportunity to kind of go through that, along with the things that we've done this morning in terms of the install. So it's one of those days that's a little bit more difficult than the rest of the week. Thursdays are always the longer practice. And it's one that usually is pretty taxing. So I'll open it up for any questions.
Jim, when you came in to interview for the job, I believe you met with Matthew Stafford. What, from that time talking to him and getting to meet him for the first time to now, has surprised you the most or maybe impressed you the most about his demeanor, his leadership, him as a guy, player, whatever?
The meeting was rather brief. It wasn't as long nor as arduous as some had reported. But it did take place where I had a chance to visit and just talk with him a little bit. I think every quarterback for the last 14 years, I've had an opportunity to look at on film, evaluate, and or as long as Matt was playing and had been playing in the league, had a chance to play against him. It certainly held him in high regard. As an observer from a distance, very talented guy. Obviously, I think when you look at his production, it had been, off the charts in some cases. It had been, and I think that's well documented, obviously. And since that time, you get a chance to get a little bit more in-depth look at a person, get a better sense of them. But you may have known that he was a bright guy, but he is indeed that, extremely bright. But he's also very dedicated. He's been a highly disciplined guy from what we've seen. He left this spring, I think, with a real solid understanding of what we were doing from an offensive standpoint, and he came back this fall further ahead than he was when he left. So that tells me that he studied, that he was obviously dedicated himself to getting better. And he's moving at a pretty rapid pace in terms of just doing a lot of the nuances that come along with operating this particular offense. He is a fine leader. I could tell, since I've been here, that the players gravitate toward him. They have a keen interest in what he has to say. He's vocal, which I don't think you can really operate at that position and not be vocal. It doesn't mean you have to be boisterous and loud. It means you have to be a communicator. And I think he does a fine job with that, telling guys where he expects them to be, how deep he wants those routes, the little nuances involved with the passing game, and particularly with attacking, spatial awareness areas and things of that nature, how receivers should adjust and what he's anticipating and hoping happens. So all of those things, I think, have been very, very positive. I mean, the guy is coming along, and I think you can see by his play he's improving. Within the system, and I look forward to him having a great year.
So if that meeting wasn't as arduous, what happened in that meeting exactly when you sat down
with him? I think I'll address it again, but I'm certain I addressed this probably 15 times, I think, since I've been here. It was reported initially that we sat down and we watched film. That didn't happen. We sat down and we talked, just kind of face to face. I can't tell you the duration of the meeting, but it wasn't as long as everyone thought. But we visited, we talked about different things and philosophical things and things of that nature. And I asked questions, he asked a few questions, and that was about it. I did talk to him about what I saw and what I thought, because I did look at every one of his throws from the previous year. That's indeed a fact. And we just talked about different things at that particular position that we thought may be able to help, but it wasn't like I was giving him, I didn't even have the job. How can I give him drills, I wasn't that confident. Nor do I have that kind of ego, right? I got an ego, but I don't have an ego problem. Let's put it that way. But nevertheless, it was a great meeting. I got a good feel for him. And I could sense right away he'd be a great guy to be around and work with. He's what you want in a guy to play that position and lead your team. And, Matthew's a quality guy.
Jim, can you talk about the...
His teammates have said that he looks sharper and that, he has maybe is showing better command of the offense. What do you think that says about him? He's been able to do that, in a new offense this season?
First of all, it's not easy. And secondly, in order to do that, you have to spend time working at it. He embraced this thing right from the onset. I mean, he was trying to find ways, all within the rules of trying to learn as much as he could about the offense in a very short period of time. He didn't want to come in this situation in the spring and not be ahead of his teammates. And he exhibited the same type of willingness coming into this fall as well, obviously coming in a bit earlier than the rest of the veterans. But he's worked at it extremely hard. I just think oftentimes you'll find that guys will kind of look for an excuse, maybe why they weren't as effective in certain phases, because, hey, we got a new system. It's a little tough. It's got a, you know, the learning curve is a little difficult. He's made none of those. You know, he came out, he's worked, he's functioned, he's gotten better as a result of that. And I look for him to just keep improving.
Jim, I understand the decisions are still more than a week away, but when it gets to the point of roster reductions, can you elaborate a little bit on the collaborative process with your staff and the front office? And is it still Martin's final say at the very end?
Certainly. Yeah. You know, I mean, without question, it's Martin has the final say on things in that regard. But he is like a lot of the great GMs that I've been around. They take everybody's information. We look at it from an assistant coach's standpoint, from the head coach's standpoint, from all angles. You deal with it, you know, how it affects you in so many different areas. And we talk about it. And it's not something that just happens the day before that we're getting ready to make the reductions. So we toil over it. We talk about it. We discuss it. And we try to get down to where we think it's best. But, you know, it's a difficult decision, you know, any time that happens. It's not a great day for me personally because of the fact, you know, we got young men that their hopes and dreams are dashed, you know, and it's not those things. I think oftentimes, you know, we don't realize how it impacts their lives, but I get a chance to see it face to face when I talk to them at the end. But it doesn't necessarily mean the end, you know, everywhere, but here for that particular point in time. And that's a difficult time. So, and we don't take it lightly. You know, that's the other thing that I think that's important. I mean, this is something that we talk about, we discuss, we go back and forth on, and until we get it down to where we think it's workable for us in our situation.
When Kelvin plays on Friday, is the benefit in that being seeing what teams do against him and being able to watch that on film and maybe seeing the opportunities that Golden Tate has and Ricky Brown and some of the other weapons have and to study maybe later?
You know, that's not the goal. But it's something that when you go into a ball game that you certainly have to take into account, because there are different things that require a different reaction depending upon how they deal with him, depending on how they deal with him from a coverage standpoint. Sometimes opens things up, you know, maybe in your passing game on the opposite side or inside on the same side or with your running game. So there are a number of different things that we'll look at. Now, a lot of them we've had an opportunity to look at and predict and kind of anticipate. And the other thing is, there's really only so many things you can do with 11 guys on the field and be sound. So we've looked at a lot of those parameters and have thought about and certainly implemented things that we would do just in case it indeed does happen. But the most important thing is to get him an opportunity to play. It's the first time this year that he'll have been in a contest. I know he's been itching to get in. You know, like you guys all know him, maybe the humblest individual that I've ever been around. And not only that, maybe the hardest worker. He's a tremendous person, and he's just tireless in terms of his efforts to get out there on the field and help his team. So I'm looking forward to letting him get out there a little bit and see how it goes.
When it comes to the kicker, do you hope to have that decision by the end of this week, or is that one that is almost definitely going until
final? Well, you know, we're going to see about that because, you know, it's one that's it's hard. I mean, it's difficult. Both guys are kicking fairly well. Now, what we're going to do this week, which is going to be a little different, you're probably going to see at the onset of the game, probably, you know, maybe Sam kicking off probably just to make certain that we get a little look at Sam, give him an opportunity to do so. And then we're going to rotate the place kicking duty. So it'll happen, you know, one will kick maybe the first opportunity, then the next guy will kick the next opportunity, and we'll go back and forth so we can get a little bit of a different evaluation rather than waiting to the second half to give Giorgio a shot. We're going to do so early on, so that's going to be a little bit different.
Why make that change? Why make that change? The rotating?
Well, you know, I think it's one that's, you know, there's some fairness there. So it gives both guys an opportunity, you know, to kick in a portion of the game that's similar. You know, we just think we can probably do a little bit better job evaluating if we do it that way. So that's the reason why. Yes, sir.
Did you anticipate Sam being the kickoff man during the season?
You know what? That remains to be seen. You know, I think you've seen both guys get it down there fairly well. And so we'll see. We'll whoever gives us the best opportunity to get the best field position, we'll utilize.
Do you feel like you're close?
Do you feel like you're close then?
You know, it's day by day. You know, it really is. I mean, it's hard. Those guys, like I said, have been kicking well in practice. And besides, you know, one or two here that somebody might have missed, but the competition has been good. It's been good for both, but it's been difficult for us to sort out.
Have you had any of Giorgio's Italian coffee beans yet?
I have not, but
yeah,
I'm not a coffee drinker. But nevertheless, that's ironic, right? For a coach not to drink coffee, but I don't. I was able to go to dinner with him at an Italian restaurant, and matter of fact, he sort of led the way in terms of telling us exactly what we should order on the menu and things of that nature. So, he was a big hit there as well, as you could imagine. So.
Is that for the position thing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What was the restaurant? You remember?
Is it Bacchus? It's on
Northwestern?
Yes. Yeah.
First round of cuts, are you going to do that Saturday or are you going to wait until next Tuesday or after this game?
You know, there's not a definite timetable. There may be some that make sense early, maybe some that make sense a little bit later, you know, prior to the deadline. It just kind of depends.
Last question.
Practice yesterday, we all saw the hit. How concerned are you that that's a long-term injury?
You know, I think that's the doctors have said it's not a long-term injury, and I think that's up to them to kind of make that determination. So I try to stay in the coaching business and let them handle the medical affairs, you know.
Yes, Mike. Can I ask one thing about evaluations? This might sound like a groaner, but if you've got a play, say, like you're evaluating your defensive players.
It sounds like a groaner. No, I'm kidding. No, go ahead.
Say, like, your middle linebacker makes a terrific interception, but there's holding on the other side of the field. Does he get credit for that when you're evaluating, or does that play not exist?
Oh no.
What he does he get credit for that when you're evaluating?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because he didn't have anything to do with the play not counting. You know, you evaluate him on every single snap. Even when a play is a penalty occurs, it doesn't matter. Those individuals still get graded. And it counts within the, you know, obviously within the scheme. So if it's an interception or whatever it might be, you know, it all counts.